ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ताके विकृताय सह नानवीर्या पृथग् भूता विराजं जनयन्ति सानिपत्या समुपद्या दृश्यन्ति नुगता इव प्रागेवा विद्यमानात्वं नठेशं इह संभव एवं भवाम्बुज्य मुने लक्षणाय ग्रयाय गुणायशन अपिथात गुना ग्रह अनावृतात भार बहिरंतरम नते सर्वस्य सर्वात्म सर्वस्य सर्वात्मन आत्मवस्तुना The Mahatattva, the total material energy, is undivided. But because of the material modes of nature, it appears to be separate into earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Because of the living energy, jiva-bhuta. These separated energies combine to make the cosmic manifestation visible. But in fact, before the creation of the cosmos, the total energy is already present. Therefore, the total material energy never actually enters the creation. Similarly, although you are perceived by our senses because of your presence, you cannot be perceived by the senses nor experienced by the mind or words. With our senses, we can perceive some things, but not everything. For example, we can use our eyes to see, but not to taste. Consequently, you are beyond perception by the senses. Although in touch with the modes of material nature, you are unaffected by them. You are the prime factor in everything, the all-pervading, undivided Supersoul. For you, therefore, there is no external or internal. You never entered the womb of Devaki. Rather, you existed there already. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This same understanding is explained by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita. Maya tatamidam saravam jagat avyakta murtina matsthani sarvabhutani nachaham teshvabhashtitaha. By me in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not perceivable through the gross material senses. It is said that Lord Sri Krishna's name, fame, pastimes, etc., cannot be understood by material senses. Only to one who is engaged in pure devotional service under proper guidance is he revealed. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Primanjana Churita Bhakti Bilochanena Santasa Daiva Hridayeshu Bilokayanti. One can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, always within oneself and outside oneself, if one has developed the transcendental loving attitude toward Him. Thus, for people in general, He is not visible. In the above-mentioned verse from Bhagavad Gita, therefore, it is said that although He is all-pervading, everywhere present, He is not conceivable by the material senses. But actually, although we cannot see Him, everything is resting in Him. As discussed in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the entire material cosmic manifestation is only a combination of His two different energies, the superior spiritual energy and the inferior material energy. Just as the sunshine is spread all over the universe, the energy of the Lord is spread all over the creation, and everything is resting in that energy. Yet one should not conclude that because he is spread all over, he has lost his personal existence. To refute such arguments, the Lord says, I am everywhere and everything is in me, but still I am aloof. For example, a king heads a government, which is but the manifestation of the king's energy. The different governmental departments are nothing but the energies of the king, and each department is resting on the king's power. But still, one cannot expect the king to be present in every department personally. That is a crude example. Similarly, all the manifestations that we see and everything that exists, both in this material world and in the spiritual world, are resting on the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The creation takes place by the diffusion of his different energies, and as stated in Bhagavad Gita, he is everywhere present by his personal representation, the diffusion of his different energies. One may argue that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who creates the whole cosmic manifestation simply by his glance, cannot come within the womb of Devaki, the wife of Vasudev. To eradicate this argument, Vasudev says, My dear Lord, it is not very wonderful that you appeared within the womb of Devaki, for the creation was also made in that way. You were lying in the causal ocean as Mahavishnu, and by your breathing, innumerable universes came into existence. Then you entered into each of the universes as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. Then again you expanded yourself as Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, and entered into the heart of all living entities, and entered even within the atoms. Therefore your entrance into the womb of Devaki is understandable in the same way. You appear to have entered, but you are simultaneously all-pervading. We can understand your entrance and non-entrance from material examples. The total material energy remains intact even after being divided into 16 elements. The material body is nothing but a combination of 5 gross elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Whenever there is a material body, it appears that such elements are newly created. But actually, the elements are always existing outside of the body. Similarly, although you appear as a child in the womb of Devaki, you are also existing outside. You are always in your abode, but still you can simultaneously expand yourself into millions of forms. One has to understand your appearance with intelligence because the material energy is also emanating from you. You are the original source of the material energy, just as the sun is the source of the sunshine. The sunshine cannot cover the sun globe, nor can the material energy, being an emanation from you, cover you. You appear to be in the 3 modes of material nature, but actually the 3 modes of material nature cannot cover you. This is understood by the highly intellectual philosophers. In other words, you appear to be within material energy. You are never covered by it. We hear from the Vedic version that the Supreme Brahman exhibits his effulgence and therefore everything is illuminated. We can understand from Brahma Samhita that the Brahma Jyoti or the Brahman effulgence emanates from the body of the Supreme Lord, and from the Brahman effulgence, all creation takes place. It is further stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the Lord is the support of the Brahman effulgence. Originally, he is the root cause of everything. But persons who are less intelligent think that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes within this material world, he accepts material qualities. Such conclusions are not mature. but are made by the less intelligence. The translation. The Mahatattva, the total material energy, is undivided. But because of the material modes of nature, it appears to separate into earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Because of the living energy, Jiva Bhuta, these separated energies combine to make the cosmic manifestation visible. But in fact, before the creation of the cosmos, the total energy is already present. Therefore, the total material energy never actually enters the creation. Similarly, although you are perceived by our senses, because of your presence, you cannot be perceived by the senses, nor experienced by the mind or words, evan manasagochara. With our senses, we can perceive some things, but not everything. For example, we can use our eyes to see, but not to taste. Consequently, you are beyond perception by the senses. Although in touch with the modes of material nature, you are unaffected by them. You are the prime factor in everything, the all-pervading, the undivided super soul. For you, therefore, there is no external or internal. You never entered the womb of Devaki. Rather, you existed there already. The prayers of Sri Vasudev, the son of Surasen, upon witnessing the beauty of the divine effulgent transcendental form of the Lord as he appeared from the womb of Devaki in the holy dham of Mathura. This is very interesting, how Sri Vasudeva is explaining that you never really entered the womb of Devaki. Rather, you existed there already. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that he is everywhere. Sarvasya chaham ridisani vishtam matasmitir jnanam apohanam cha. This means that I am seated within the heart of every living being. From me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesher junitishtati. That seated in the heart of every living being, I am directing their wandering since time immemorial. Krishna also explains, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for him I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So, as it is explained here, that at the beginning of the creation of the cosmic manifestation, within the Brahma Jyoti, which is the rays of the supreme body, effulgence of Sri Krishna, everything is existing. Everything material, spiritual, all existence is residing within the Brahma Jyoti. Krishna is manifesting a brilliant effulgent light from his transcendental form, and in the spiritual world, all the Vaikuntha planets, the spiritual abodes, are floating within that spiritual sky of the Supreme Brahman. And in this material existence, it is sometimes compared like a cloud
that is within this Brahma Jyoti, with the separation point called the Viraja, it is within this that the entire cosmic manifestation exists. So in this way we can understand in fact how everything is within Krishna. Karana Dakshai Vishnu. He expands himself in so many various ways to enter into every aspect of this material existence within the Mahatattva. Karana Dakshai Vishnu lays in the causal ocean, and from him, during his exhalation, millions of universes, billions, trillions, innumerable universes come from his divine body. So all those universes are coming from him. They are floating in the causal ocean, which is an expansion of himself. And then he enters into each universe as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, from whom Lord Brahma is created. And then that Garbhodakshayi Vishnu enters into the heart of every living being, is Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. And that Kshirodakshayi Vishnu also enters in and between every atom within the entire creation. So everything is within Krishna, and Krishna is within everything. Where is Krishna not to be found? He is inside and outside of everything that exists spiritually, materially. Nothing can exist outside of Krishna, and nothing can exist without Krishna inside it. This is what we mean when we explain that Krishna is all-pervading. And yet, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the Gita, he explains, although I am within everything, and everything is within me, yet I still remain separate. I still remain the cause. The impersonalist class of philosophers, they understand how everything is within Krishna. They understand how everything is within the Brahman. But Krishna explains the energetic source, the cause of all causes, remains separate. Just as the example given here, the sun, through its rays, its energy, it is everywhere, supporting and maintaining all of this creation, yet the sun planet remains separate from everything else, remains always as the source. So in the same way, in the supreme abode of Goloka Vrindavan, the ultimate planet of Vaikuntha, Krishna is residing, it is original, transcendental form. And from that form, all that we have just discussed is manifesting. So who can understand the divine nature of Krishna's personality? You see, why is it so important, and all the great acharyas, especially Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and of course within Srila Prabhupada's books we find a continual repetition of the explanation of the Purushavatars, Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, and a continual explanation of the Brahma Jyoti. Why is it so important? Because when we understand how this phenomenon is taking place, how Krishna is within everything that exists through this through the specific manifestations that we are discussing, and how everything is within him through these manifestations. When we understand sarva karana karanam, that he is the cause of all causes, bahunam janmanam ante gyanapam ampapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudulabha, then we get some idea of approaching Krishna's personality for what it is. Krishna appeared in Vrindavan as a child. He is stealing butter. He is running away in fear for Mother Yashoda, who has her stick to punish him. He's crying. His limbs are trembling. He's hiding behind clay pots. Please, don't catch me. He's tied to grinding mortar. This is... Our children, we can do like this too also. Krishna takes pleasure in these loving exchanges with his devotees. And he sometimes appears like an ordinary child so that he could reciprocate this type of love with his devotees. If he appeared to be so great to his devotees, they could not even consider punishing him with a stick or tying him to a grinding mortar. They would simply be offering pranams to him day and night. So to enter into the sweetness of this divine lila with his purely surrendered devotees, he takes the form not only like an ordinary being, but subordinate to the love and the care of his bhakta. Now, to enter into this divine lila, first of all, in order to really appreciate how glorious these simple and innocent pastimes are, we must understand, who is this Krishna? What is his power? What is his glory? That all of these Purusha avatars and the entire Brahma Jyoti that is emanating light everywhere through all existence, they are all coming from him, from this child, Gopal. He is the master of all masters, the supreme source of everything that exists. What type of personality is this? Oftentimes the impersonalists, they feel that personality is a limitation, because they want to identify everything according to their own experience. Because I am very limited, and my personality limits me in so many ways, therefore for God to be unlimited, he must be impersonal. And he may temporarily take on personality within this material existence just to teach us certain lessons. But ultimately, in order for him to enter into his truly unlimited state, he must give up that form and personality. But here it is described what type of personality Krishna has, what type of form he has. It is the source of everything that exists. It is thoroughly transcendental. It cannot be perceived with the eyes. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. But that divine form reveals himself to the heart that is filled with love. It cannot be seen or perceived by any material sense perception. The sound of Krishna's flute is also all-pervading throughout all of existence. But we can only hear it when our ears are anointed with the salve of love. The fragrance of Krishna's body, the taste of the sweetness of his form, the touch of his divine hand is factually everywhere. Krishna says, everywhere is my hands and legs, my eyes, my faces. The fact is, all of our senses are meant to experience the unlimited nectar, amrit, of Krishna at all times. But material senses never can and never will be able to understand that which is beyond. Therefore, only by thoroughly submitting to the will of God, by surrender, and by expressing our subordinate condition as the eternal servant of the Lord and serving Him with love, does Krishna reveal Himself. And how does He reveal Himself? He's already everywhere. Vasudeva is explaining, He's everywhere in everything. So what does it mean to reveal Himself? Self-realization simply means that Krishna awakens the dormant condition of our spiritual senses. For the spiritual senses can witness Krishna through all sense perception everywhere, but the material senses can never fathom the glory of the Lord. So until we give up the limited conceptions of our own mind and intelligence, and accept the word of God as truth, as it is coming through Guru Sadhu Shastra, and until we completely surrender our heart, our mind, and our senses to the Lord, then our spiritual senses are uncovered. And then we can perceive what is true, that Krishna is everywhere and everything is in Krishna. Vasudeva is using the example, really you never entered into the womb of Devaki, rather you already existed there. Krishna is everywhere, within everything, obviously he's also in the womb of Devaki. So why everyone's making such a big deal that Krishna appeared in the womb of Devaki? He's already there. He never appeared. He's been there since the day Devaki was born. When Devaki was in the womb of her mother, Krishna was within her womb. And Krishna's within the womb of every woman. Even the barren woman. He's everywhere. He's in the womb of every female monkey, dog, hog, lizard. He's everywhere. So why everyone is making such a big celebration that Krishna appeared within the womb of Devaki? Because, out of His causeless mercy, He is simply revealing Himself to the world. He is so, out of His infinite kindness, He's allowing even the material senses of the conditioned souls to see Him there. Krishna is everywhere. But Krishna arranged so that even the gross materialists could perceive His divine form. Even those who have no love could hear Him, could touch Him, could see Him. This is His causeless special mercy. And this is the reason for Krishna's incarnation or avatar. Avatar means one who descends. But if you're already somewhere, what is the question of descending? He appears to descend, but in actuality, He is simply revealing Himself as He is. To those who are unqualified. This is called causeless mercy. What do we mean when we discuss causeless mercy? Krishna is unapproachable, invisible, to the material mind and senses. Until we qualify with pure love, we can never witness Him. We can never hear Him. But Krishna comes causelessly, although we have absolutely no qualification. And He speaks to us. And He appears before us. This is causeless mercy. When the spiritual master speaks, he is speaking the word of Krishna. Just the sound of those words is causeless mercy. Because the material ears cannot hear the sound of God's voice, cannot hear the words of God. They are not meant to hear it. But the Lord intervenes and comes into the material platform just to show His love for you, although you have no qualification to hear Him. We are sitting before Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. You cannot see Krishna unless your eyes are smeared with the salve of love, although He's everywhere. But here we are, sitting, looking at Krishna. Any time of the day, practically, we could come and sit before Him and witness, behold, His infinite beauty. This is causeless mercy. How grateful we should become that He's appearing in such a way that even the conditioned soul with absolutely no qualification could see Him, could hear His name, which is non-different from Him, could hear the Bhagavatam, which is non-different from Him. Therefore, a devotee is always grateful. I don't deserve any of this. I'm a conditioned soul. But Krishna is breaking His own laws, His own rules, just to reveal Himself to me. What is the rule? Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. You cannot perceive Krishna with any of your senses until your heart is saturated with prema bhakti. Why? All day long, I'm hearing Krishna, I'm tasting Krishna, I'm smelling the incense of Krishna, I'm tasting the prasad of Krishna, I'm hearing the philosophy of Krishna, I'm seeing the form of Krishna. My hands are engaged in devotional service, which is non-different than Krishna. All my senses are completely immersed in Krishna. And the senses are not allowed to see Him. The law is until they are saturated with love. Krishna is breaking His own rules out of His infinite kindness to us. Just like there are so many rules and regulations. When Srila Prabhupada came to the West, he put aside so many rules and regulations just to give Krishna consciousness to unqualified people who are not able to follow all those rules and regulations. That is causeless mercy. Krishna does the same thing. If Krishna were to follow all the rules and regulations, he would never come to this material world. He breaks the rules. He breaks the laws of material nature to descend and reveal Himself in truth to everyone. This is causeless mercy. Therefore, Krishna's deity, Krishna's name, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's words from the Bhagavatam, they are all causeless mercy. And until we understand what this means, causeless mercy, we will never enter into the loving affection of Krishna. Because we'll never be grateful, we'll never be thankful. When we ask Srila Prabhupada, you are giving us the highest understanding of God. We've heard so many religions, we've read so many scriptures, but the extent of the realization that you are offering us, the love affairs of Radha and Krishna. I mean, there are pious people in the Western world who worship God and know that He is the Supreme Father and He is great. And yet His disciple, we are impious people. We are more sinful than them, and you are giving to us beyond the realization that God is great, beyond that He is the Father, you are teaching us how to be His lover. What in the world has been our qualification for receiving this transcendental knowledge? And Srila Prabhupada said, you have no qualifications. If you think you have any qualifications, that's your greatest disqualification. We can't even stay awake during Srimad Bhagavatam class. What is our qualification? We have no qualification. If we think we have any qualification, that is our greatest disqualification. Srila Prabhupada said, you have no qualifications. I made your qualifications. By the causeless mercy of Lord Sri Krishna and the great Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara, I am delivering this to you causelessly. This is mercy. And how to receive this mercy? That is the great question that we must always be asking, how to receive the mercy. Not how to obtain the mercy. You cannot obtain causeless mercy. If you could obtain it, it would not be causeless. Causeless means it's coming not by your power, but by the power of the deliverer. Huh? So the question is how to receive it. There's only one way, to be submissive and to be humble. If you are submissive and humble, you can receive. Submissive, humble, and grateful. That is why a devotee, any situation that he's put in, he's grateful. He's not fussy. Causeless mercy. If something is coming causelessly, you shouldn't be particular. I want it this way, my Lord. Why not like this? However it comes, we should be grateful. That's how we receive it. If Krishna gives us happiness, if Krishna gives us distress, pleasure or pain, honor or dishonor, health or sickness, whatever condition Krishna puts us in, if we want to receive his causeless mercy, we have to understand that whatever he offers us is perfect, complete, for our purification, for our good, and we're grateful. Not Krishna, why like this? I would rather have it like this. Huh? Is that grateful? It's like if somebody's starving in the street, he has no money, he's about to die, and you come and you give him a nice plate of khichdi, and he says, I want halava, I don't want khichdi. Well, what kind of a nonsense person is this? He didn't buy it. If you can purchase something, then you can demand that I get the goods that I paid for. And if something's coming for free to save your life, you can't be particular. Huh? No, don't give me khichdi. I want halava. You're about to die, you fool. Eat. No. I don't like khichdi. Throw it in the gutter. Die, because you're not getting what you like. Huh? That food will save your life. It will save you from death. So similarly, sometimes Krishna gives us disease. Sometimes Krishna gives us pain. Sometimes Krishna gives us dishonor. Sometimes he gives us poverty. The devotee understands this is causeless mercy. This is his kindness to give me life, to save me from spiritual death. We're grateful, whatever he gives. When we learn to tenu kampam sushamiksha mano bunjana evatma kritam vibhagam when we learn to be grateful to Krishna under all circumstances, then we can receive. Then our heart is in a position to simply receive his mercy and attain the highest state of liberation through that process. So Krishna is causelessly appearing from the womb of Devaki in such a way that we can perceive him, that we can see his divine pastimes, that we can hear his divine words, and in this way we can be attracted back home, back to Godhood. And Srila Prabhupada is describing here how the material energy, it is composed of earth, water, fire, air, ether. How the whole prakriti and the all of the manifested and unmanifested material elements are existing, and how Krishna, through his transcendental nature, he can enter into this material world of the 16 elements, more thoroughly categorized. he can enter into this cosmic manifestation, which is all being influenced by the three modes of material nature, and yet he remains eternally unaffected. Tribir gunamayaya bhavaya. Krishna says, although I enter into the three modes of material nature, I am not affected by the influence of them. I am always their master and their controller. And it is explained, just like the king. The king, he is in charge of the entire kingdom, including the prison house. And sometimes the king will enter into the prison house to inspect it. And when he enters the prison house, in one level, he's in the same position as all the prisoners. He's in the same place. Huh? He's standing next to them. He's behind the bars, just like the prisoners. When he goes in to talk to some prisoner, he's behind bars. He's behind all the walls. Physically, there's no difference between the king in the prison house and the prisoners in the prison house. But there is a difference. That the king is the master and the controller. He is not in any way affected by the laws of the prison house. He is the maker of the laws of the prison house. Therefore, he can come when he wants, he can go when he wants, he can do anything he wants within that prison house. He is not limited. The prisoners, they have to eat at a certain time. The king could eat any time he wants. The prisoner is confined to one cell, he can go any cell, any time he wants. And most of all, the prisoner can't get out, but he can come and go whenever and wherever he likes. He's independent. Although he appears within the confines of the prison he has created, he is independent, whereas all prisoners are dependent. So this material world is sometimes called a prison, Durga. And we are all shackled. Trigunas, triguna. Gunas are like ropes or chains. Guna means a rope or a chain. And a prisoner is chained or tied. He cannot go outside of the jurisdiction of those ropes. So in the same, and he's being dragged and pulled from one place to another. So in the same way, in this prison, we are chained, we are roped by the three modes of material nature. We are dependent. We cannot do what we want. We cannot go where we want. We are bound. When Krishna comes, he is abhigya and swarat. He is fully independent. Simply manifests himself and unmanifests himself as he so desires. This is Krishna. And why does the king come into the prison house? He doesn't come because he has performed some illegal activity. Of course, nowadays, that's usually why the king does go to the prison house, because he's done so many crazy illegal things that there's a revolution and other people take over the government and they put him in prison. That's an ordinary king of Kali Yuga. But a real king, a pious king, he is not put in the prison house because he has sinned, because he is a criminal. He comes to the prison house for one reason. To encourage the prisoners to be good citizens. It's the only reason. To show them, I care about you, I love you. Why don't you reform yourself and do as you should do? He comes to see that everything is in order for the good of the prisoners. So in the same way, Krishna enters into this material world simply for the good of the criminal-minded jivatmas that have entered into this pursuit of satisfying their own egos through so many offensive means of rebelling against God. And when we learn to be grateful, thankful, and we understand the nature of Krishna's appearance and activities, janma karma cha me divyam evam yogi tattvata tyakto deham punarjanma naiti mam iti sorjana, then we never have to take birth in this prison of material existence again. Then and then only, when we respond to the call of God, we return back home, back to Godhead. Is there any questions?
Is there any test or test by which we can understand that we have received a positive person or
the causeless mercy of the spiritual master is in every word he speaks. If you follow that instruction, you have received his causeless mercy. You don't have to receive some mystical intuition. The causeless mercy of Radha Gopinath is that they have come to deliver you. It's by coming before them, by looking at them, you're receiving their causeless mercy. By chanting their holy name, you're receiving their causeless mercy. By hearing the instructions of this, by simply hearing submissively the instructions of the spiritual master and applying it to your, by hearing it, the causeless mercy is coming to you. By following it, you receive it. Receiving it means to reciprocate. When we hear the words of Guru